Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We ask that you're going to bless each and every one of us and open our eyes that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel, and open our ears that we can hear the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you help us to hide your word within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And more importantly, empower us with the Holy Spirit so that we be able to put what we learn into practice so that we can experience your very blessing. And I pray that you be with us tonight. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. First thing. Chapter 1, 13 to 14 is number 1. The moment when you believe in Jesus Christ, God will give us His Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. In chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemptions of those who are God's possessions to the praise of His glory. God promised us that when you believe in Jesus Christ, believe in the word of truth, and you open your heart to receive Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, at that very moment, God marked you with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That means without the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. With the Holy Spirit, then you can enter the kingdom of God. So, Michael, do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart? Do you? Do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart? You don't know, eh? Okay, Joshua, do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart?
Yeah.
How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit within your heart? What's the proof? You get it when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But is there any other proof that you have the Holy Spirit? So how do you know that you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit? Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? How do you know?
Isn't that like the basis of everything?
Yeah, I know. Having believe in the word of truth, believe in the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. But how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Could you take a look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3? How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit. You know, same as if I ask Michael, I don't know whether he can answer my question, you know. Michael, when he's playing, then he has a lot of things to say, but when he has Bible study, he has nothing to say. You know? How do you know you are the son of your father? Michael, how do you know? What's the name of your father? Do you know? God is your father. Heavenly Father. I'm asking you, earthly father, what's the name of your earthly father? Do you know his name? Yeah. You know his name? What is his name? You can translate. You can tell me in English. You can do it.
Wow.
What do you say in Mandarin? Jiang Kun.
Yeah.
That is the English name too. Jiang Kun, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how do I know that you are his son? Do you look like him?
Not really.
Not really. You don't talk like him? You don't act like him? So you are totally different from him. So Christopher, so how do you know you are the son of Grant? Have you ever doubt this question? Yes? What?
Not until today.
Oh, that is bad. That is bad. So how do I know you are his son? So you're never thinking of that. In the same way, if people ask you, how do I know I am God's son? What would you say? Joshua, what would you say? How do you know that you are God's son?
When you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord.
When you
what?
When you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. When you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that means the Holy Spirit moves you. Without the Holy Spirit moving you, you will not acknowledge Jesus is the Lord. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it is not because you are smart, it is not because you are wise that you know Jesus is Lord. It is because the Holy Spirit is moving you to say that he is Lord. You understand? And that's the proof that you are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. That means guarantee is a deposit guarantee that you can enter the kingdom of God. Could you tell me, Gabriel, how do you know that if you pass away today, that you can enter the kingdom of God? What's the proof?
The Holy Spirit
in where?
In
your heart. So you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if you ask yourself, like normally when I carry the Canadian passport, if I go to US, they always stamp it the time of my entrance. When I leave U.S., they don't stamp it. Yesterday, when I go through the custom, Canadian custom, they take my passport and they stamp it for my enter. Very, very seldom they do that. I don't know why they do it, but they did it. They stamp it the day of my arrival. And that's a seal, right? That proof that I enter into Canada on that day. When I stand with the U.S. seal, that's the proof that they are entering into U.S., right? Without the passport, you cannot enter into Canada or enter into U.S. without a valid passport, right? In the same way, without the Holy Spirit within your heart, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you can attend church all your life. Some people attend church all their life, and yet they still don't know that they have the Holy Spirit within their heart. They may not be able to enter. They don't ask you, do you attend church? You understand? They don't ask you, which church do you attend? They don't ask you, how many people are attending your church? The angel stand by the heaven gate. He will arch each and every one of us. Why would I let you enter into the kingdom of God? What are you going to show it to them? Gabriel? So if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, then you know, in the future, very likely the angel will not, they don't have to ask you because he see that what is in your heart, right? But just that you don't want to wait until that day and find out that you don't have the Holy Spirit within your heart. Because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing our inheritance. That means guaranteeing that you can enter the kingdom of God. When are you going to enter the kingdom of God? Until the redemption of those who are in God, who are God's possessions. Until all the believers are redeemed. Until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God wants to make sure those who are best, those who are predestined to be saved, they all can enter. But we still have to be make sure. We still have to be sure that we are marked with the Holy Spirit. And what's the proof of that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And I still remember that 30-some odd years ago when someone come to my house and share the gospel, share the good news to me. I still remember that when they talk about Jesus Christ to me and all of a sudden I become upset. I talked to them about Buddha. They talked to me about Jesus Christ, and I talked to them about Buddha. That means, at that time, I heard about the gospel, I heard about Jesus Christ, but I do not acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. I deny him. That means, within my heart, I do not have the Holy Spirit. And that's the proof that I do not have the Holy Spirit. Now, when someone talks about Jesus Christ, and I'm happy about that. Yesterday, on my way back from St. Paul, Minneapolis to Edmonton, and sit opposite to me, there's a fellow. He opened up his Bible, NIV study Bible, that thick, right? And then he has some study material. He read the NIV study Bible, something he didn't quite understand, and he opened up probably it's a commentary or whatever, and he read about that, you know, and then he studied that. He read about that, and he studied that. And I look around all the other people's, they reading some magazine, some playing about iPod, iPad, and stuff like that. I reach out and touch him. I say, which church did you go to? And he told me he went to Kentucky Church. He's a Christian there. I say, well, you're very good. You're reading the Bible. He say he tried to catch up because for the last 6 weeks, he just have a baby girl. He's so busy. He don't have time to study. So he catch up with the Bible reading. I said to him, keep up with the good work. And at the end of the journey, he asked me, which church did you go to? He asked me, because I said, well, which church did you go to, right? You reading Bible, that's good, you know. I said to him, I'm a pastor, you know. He said, oh, you're a pastor, you know. Nowadays, you just look around. In the airplanes, a lot of people sleeping. A lot of people doing something else. Not very many people reading Bibles, especially carrying a Bible. You know, that thick. You know what I mean? NIV study Bible, that thick. You know how big it is? It's big. Heavy, right? And then you carry another commentary. Joshua, the last time you go on a trip to take an airplane, did you take out the Bible that thick to read it? I don't think so. Right? When's the last time you take a plane? You're eating Gong Jai Min in. You don't want to spill on the Bible? How come you can eat Gong Jai Min? What airline? WestJet let you eat Gong Jai Min? Or you buy it?
So no.
you don't take 2 hours to eat Gong Jai Min. 5 minutes I finish Gong Jai Min. Okay, you eat 10 minutes Gong Jai Min, okay? Instant noodle, 10 minutes. What about that 2 hours trip? What are you gonna do? 5 hour trip eating Gong Jai Min. Give me Gong Jai Min. Give me instant noodle, right? Come on.
Well, that was 4 hours. I was like biting my nose.
No, I was seasick.
You know. So I said to that Caucasian, I said, "Good, you know, you done a good job." I said, "Keep it up. Keep it up." You know. So I'm just wondering. He lived in Kentucky, and probably he has to work after his baby daughter was born, right? He go to Edmonton to work, and he carry a big Bible, study Bible. Most of the Christian, when they go on trip, they take a small Bible, right? As small as possible, but he take a big one. Is he setting a good example? And I know within his heart, he has the Holy Spirit. What's the proof that someone has the Holy Spirit? He not only believed in the Word of God, the Word of truth. That Holy Spirit will tell him, now is the time to read my word. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you have the Holy Spirit, you haven't read the Bible for 6 weeks because your daughter was born, you're busy. Right? And now you have time in the plane, you open up the Bible and read it. And that's good. That's the proof that he has the Holy Spirit. If you don't read the Bible for 6 weeks, you feel better. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're starving the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? What else are the proof? When you see someone going to the church, you feel happy about that. That means you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. When you see someone going to the church, you don't care about that. You feel nothing about that. That means what? Gabriel? You may not have the Holy Spirit. Okay? When you see someone come to know Christ, you feel happy about that. When someone share you with the gospel, you feel happy about that. When you hear about God's word, you feel happy about that. I give you some proof. Do you remember Elizabeth? Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. Do you remember that? What happened? What happened when Elizabeth saw Mary? Do you remember what happened? You don't know what happened? Could you turn to it? Turn to Luke. Chapter 1. Could you read that, Gabriel? 39 all the way to 45.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary speaking, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, baby, my womb leaps for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
So what's the response, based upon what you have just read, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary? The baby inside Elizabeth's womb, right?
Yeah.
Is she upset or is she happy? So when you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, let's say when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you saw Mary, you heard about her voice, you'll be happy about that. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, will you share the gospel, tell people about Jesus Christ? Turn to Gospel of John, chapter 15, chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. Joshua. So what happened if you have the counselor come into your body? When you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, what would the Holy Spirit do? Testify about Jesus Christ, right? When you see your friends, your friend happened to be non-Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, what would the Holy Spirit say to you, Joshua? Have you ever done that? Have you ever testified about Jesus Christ to your friend? No? So what's the reason? But I want you to read that, 15:26. No, you don't. You don't have to ask her. I'm asking you. You know.
When the counselor comes, who I will send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes up from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Go out from the Father. The Spirit of truth will testify about Jesus Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you will what? You will receive the message of truth. And then you will what? Share the good news. Of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit helping you, you won't acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. You feel upset, just like Elizabeth heard about the voice from Mary. She didn't feel upset. She feel happy. Right? When you hear the message, I remember 30-some-odd years ago, when I hear the message of truth, the good news, I feel upset. That means I have what? Evil spirit within my heart. Now, I hear the gospel, I feel happy about that. I receive it. I don't reject it. At that time, I reject. That means I don't have the Holy Spirit within my heart. I have the evil spirit within my heart. That's why I reject the message of truth. You understand? Secondly, you not only welcome, receive the good news. Once you receive it, you know it's good. You will share the good news with your friends. Do you remember Andrew? When he heard the message from his teacher, John the Baptist, what did he do? He went home and shared the good news to who? Gabriel? You don't know. You don't read the Bible. Eh? His parent. Oh, man. Hannah, you know the answer? His family? His friends?
No one?
No one? Oh, man. Joyce? when angel heard the good news from John the Baptist, his teacher, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of all." And then what did angel do? He joined Jesus, followed Jesus, and after that, what did he do? Share the good news to his brother. What's the name of his brother? Joyce, you better repent. Simple question like this, you don't even know how to answer the question. Shame on you. You better start studying tonight. What's the name of his brother? Simon Peter. Where did the Bible say? Gospel of John chapter 1. Come on, you guys. No wonder you guys don't share the gospel. Because you don't follow the footsteps of the apostle. Gospel of John chapter 1. Gabriel, read that, 35.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him say that they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" He said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour.
I talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't really know whether you guys have the Holy Spirit. Okay? As I said before, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm not kidding. This is not what I say. This is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing that we can enter the kingdom of God. With the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And I tell you on some other things too. That's why I'm afraid. I don't know whether you have the Holy Spirit. Because you don't just say, "Oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ." You ask a lot of questions. They say they have the Holy Spirit, but in reality, they may not have the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. I want you to turn to Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. Take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit. Starting with 14. Could you read that, Joshua?
If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, who will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.
Okay. And then? Verse 15. chapter 15, verse 26 to 27 again.
The Counselor comes whom I will send to you from the Father. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Chapter 16, verse 12. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, verse 13, what will He do to you?
Guide you into all truth.
When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. When He guides you into all truth, that means when you read the Bible, when you search diligently, you should be able to understand. You should be able to understand His word. At first, you may not understand, but if you keep searching, you will be able to understand His word. First of all, you will receive His message. The message of truth is just like spiritual milk. When you're a baby, you need spiritual milk, right? You receive the spiritual milk. You receive the message of truth. Once you receive it, you're going to start sharing it. Just like Andrew heard the message and then tasted himself, follow Jesus, find out where he lives, and then realize the one he followed is the Messiah. What did he do? He hide the truth, not telling anyone? No. He go home. Tell his brother, his older brother. Andrew went home. Tell his brother. What about Philip? Philip met Jesus, know that Jesus is the Messiah. What did Philip do? Do you remember? Joshua? Don't remember? Carl? He go to his friend. He tell his friends, I met the Messiah. Andrew tell his brother. Philip tell his friend. In the same chapter, chapter 1, no wonder in the church, a lot of Christians, they don't care less about his own brother. They don't care less about his friends. What's the reason why it's written in first chapter of Gospel of John? Joshua? What's the reason why? What's the reason why the Apostle John write this kind of recording? Teach us what? Share to your friends. Share to your brother. But we don't do that. What did John say? Gospel of John 6:63. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The very word that I spoke to you is Spirit and is life. Could you read it? Gospel of John 6:63. The word that Jesus spoke to us is Spirit. His word, His Spirit gives life. You know what? If we don't read His word, how can we live for Him? Right? We call ourselves Christian. We don't read His word. We don't care about His word. And I'm just wondering, do we really have the Holy Spirit within our heart? You know, a mother gives birth to a baby. How do I know that baby has life? When the baby comes out, I believe the doctor is going to spank him, the button, and he cry. Second thing, he's going to drink spiritual milk. He's going to drink milk from his mother. Right? He didn't need to learn that. Born with it. If he's born alive, he should be able to drink milk. Because he's hungry. That thirst will train him how to drink. In the same way, if we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, we will yearn for the spiritual milk, the Word of God. Can you imagine if a mother gives birth to a baby and then starve the baby to death? Without giving milk. Will the baby die? I think so. If you were born again as Christian and you don't read the Bible, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh that we have blood, okay, flesh and blood, the flesh counts for nothing. The very word that I spoke to you is Spirit and is life. If we don't feed ourselves with the spiritual milk, if we don't read His word, you don't have the Holy Spirit within your heart, or you are grieving the Holy Spirit, grieve up to the point, you're starving Him to death. Don't test God with that. Human being, I heard that the other day, there's a lady, he drive a SUV and then he get lost and get stuck in the forest, can't find his way out. I think he stay in the forest for how long? It's 45 days, something like that. 45 days. And she still survived. 45 days. She feed herself with chocolate bar and stuff like that. So sooner or later it's running out, right? Jesus Christ was tested in the wilderness for 40 days and night. He has nothing to eat. Moses in Mount Sinai for 40 days and night. Elijah was fasting 40 days and night. I don't think that lady fasting for 40 days and night because he has chocolate bar, right? but he didn't have 40 days of food. But she was starving too. So if you don't read the Bible once, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, you still survive. 40 days, that means month and a half, right? You still survive. And you go on Sunday, you hear the gospel, just like you go to the ICU to have the IV sustaining your life. You want to sustain your life like that? Or you want to feed yourself? Gabriel, what have you learned today? I don't know. Why don't you try that, okay? Do me a favor, try it. Don't eat anything for 3 days. I want to see what your mother going to say to you. Okay? Try that. 3 days, you won't die. I know, guarantee you won't die. Just 3 days.
My mom would say, good job.
Yeah. Your mom... Oh, brother and sister, don't starve yourself for that. You know, for a few days, okay. You know, I see that, you know, that man from Kentucky, he said, I feel very hungry for that because for the last 7 days, I've had it, you know, that the baby girl, you know, come out. Everything's messed up, so I don't have the time to study. Running back and forth. But when he has the time on the plane, he read the Bible. We really have to ask ourselves, you know what's the name of the Holy Spirit? In Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, he described the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. That means the Holy Spirit will encourage you to read the truth. The Bible is the truth. A lot of people, they read magazine, they read something else, to search for internet, to go to iPod, iPhone, and iPad, whatever, something, right? But don't search the Word of God. And very lightly, the Spirit that inside you, that urge you to search for something else other than the Word of God, that Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Spirit of truth. What is that spirit? Can anyone tell me? What's the name of that spirit? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, what's the name of that spirit? When you were dead in your sins and transgression, in which you used to live, when you follow the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of this world. And what is his name? The spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. What is that spirit? I don't think that spirit is the spirit of truth. That spirit is the spirit of what? Evil. So we really have to ask ourselves, are we following the spirit of truth to search for the message of truth, to read his scripture, to read God's word? or follow the way of this world? We really have to ask ourselves. Are you going to try for 3 days not going to eat? So you can eat every day?
Yeah, 6 times a day.
What's the reason why you eat every day? But sometimes Christians, they don't read Bible. They fast. Is that right? Isn't it? Does it make sense, Hannah? It makes sense to fast spiritually? So what have you learned today? Oh, man. The Holy Spirit will help us to receive God's word with gladness. The Holy Spirit will help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with gladness. By receiving His Word, by sharing His Word, by doing these two things, will it help us to grow spiritually? Will our spiritual muscle be strong? Hey, Gabriel? So when angel received the message, and what did he do? What his name? When Philip heard the message, what did he do? When God recorded this portion of the scripture, is he trying to encourage us to do it, to follow their footsteps, or shun ourselves away from it? So are you telling me that this Sunday I can see your friends to come to the church? You don't know about that. So you're not going to flex that muscle, eh? You need to understand the Bible more. You know what? 30-some-odd years ago, when I first heard about the gospel, I go to share the gospel on the first Sunday. I don't know much about the Bible. I just tell my friend. And let me show it to you. Okay? Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want you to read that. 43, chapter 1. All the way to the end. Chapter 1. I want to circle the word, three word. What did Philip say? These three words is very, very powerful. His friend said, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out from there?" Is he going to a church? Can anything come out? Can anything good come out from a church? You just say, "Come and see." You telling me to go to a church? And what do you say? And you call your friends, "I want you to go to a church this Sunday." You say, "Going to a church?" He mocked at you. And what did you say? "You want to try?" Do you have a girlfriend? Honestly. No, I'm saying honestly. Kung Fu. No, do you have a girlfriend? Semi-girlfriend. Just a friend. You have no friend. You don't even have a friend. A boyfriend. You have no friend. You have no friend. Call him. You don't need to know much. Anything you can't answer, come and see. When you are persistent and say with affirmation, "Come and see," he will come. If you yourself not sure, he will not be sure. Come yourself and see it. When you come yourself and see it, you will taste it yourself. If it's no good, don't bother come back. Look at all the Bible incidents. They all come and they all see. When they taste it, they come back. You don't need to read the whole Bible before you can say that. What have you learned?
That all you just have to tell is just come and see.
Yeah. Come and see. So this applies to what? To all of you. You know, we think, "Oh, we need to be eloquent to explain the Bible." I can't explain it. You come and see. Same as when you tell your friends, "Certain restaurant is good." How good is it? You come and see. They may not come this week, but when they hear from you saying that, "Come and see," next time when they want to go to a restaurant, he will remember what you have said. "I will try that one." Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Come and see. You know where Philip learned that? Do you know? I want you to write it down. Right beside 46, 146, "Come and see." I want you to write it down, 139. He learned it from Jesus. You read it, 38 and 39. Come and you will see. Tell me, Gabriel, how do you know Jesus? Because you read the Bible? I don't think so. You come and see, but you forgot it. And now you deceive yourself and say, "Oh, I need to read the Bible more and before I can share." You know what? You don't invite your friend. You have no incentive to read the Bible. Why should I read the Bible? As far as a lot of Christians is concerned, I don't need to know what's the response of angel. If they don't know the response of angel, very likely, he won't share the gospel to his relatives. Oh, I don't need to know the response of Philip. If you don't know the response of Philip, very likely, you won't share the gospel to your friends. If you know the response of angel and Philip, the first thing you do when you come to know Christ, what will you do? You'll be moved by the word of God. Moved by these two incidents. You will move by the Holy Spirit to follow their footsteps. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What did Jesus say? Gospel of John chapter 6 verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The word that I have spoken to you is Spirit and is life. If you have that word, that Jesus word within your heart, you'll be moved by the Holy Spirit, say, follow them. Say what they say. Learn from Jesus. Come and you will see. And Philip say, come and see. You want to learn it? Or you don't want to learn it? How do you learn piano? The first day you learn it so well, or you need to keep practicing it? Do you know what? A lot of Christians, they go to the church and they grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? They don't have the word of God hidden within their heart, and they don't know what to do. And they deceive themselves. They don't share the gospel. They say, it's okay. Why should I share the gospel? It's not my job. Besides, I don't know much about the Bible. But the Bible says, come and see. Anyone can say that. Come and you will see. We don't even bother. You know what? You say you don't even bother? I pray that you will remember these three words, come and see, within your heart for the rest of your life. And next time, when you have a need to ask Jesus, and Jesus will recall, because the Bible says clearly, Gospel of John chapter 16, he will guide you into all truth. He will help you to recall what you have heard. And I pray the Holy Spirit is going to guide you what you have heard today. Come and see. You don't put it into practice, and I pray Jesus is going to say to you, you don't listen to me, you want me to answer your prayer, you have to wait. You want to wait, or you want him to help you in a speedy manner? Then you better respond to him. Don't grieve him. Try that. If your relationship with your father is not good, when you ask for a favor, good luck. And I'm not kidding. Don't grieve your earthly father, nor grieving the heavenly father by denying his word, ignoring his word. If you're no need, fine. But sooner or later, you're going to graduate. Sooner or later, you're going to need a job. Sooner or later, you're going to need a girlfriend, right? Or you want to be single. Do you have the gifts of being single? No?
I don't know the gifts of being single.
Being single, that means don't get married. You don't want to get married? You do. I want you to read that. 18:22, Proverbs, and 1914. I tell you, maybe you are at home, you don't have that much of a need. Eventually, you're going to step out of your home, your daddy's home. You have a lot of need, okay? I tell you. You grieve him, you'll be in deep trouble. 1822. You want to receive favor from the Lord? How do you receive favor from the Lord? By disobedient or obedient to His word? What did He say to you? You saying that I need to read more about the Bible, I need to understand more. No, you don't need to know a lot more in order to play piano. Whatever you learn from your teacher, you practice it. That's how you learn. You don't learn the whole thing, the history. Whatever you learn, that song, that tiny song, you just practice it. Then eventually, you'll be good at it. Don't give the excuse, you know, I need to read more. What have you learned? Yeah. 1914.
Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but prudent wife is from the Lord.
Prudent wife is from the Lord. That means you need to ask Him for favor, right? That's why I'm asking you, do you want to be single? You know? Oh, man. It applied to you, Hannah, too, right? Prudent wife is prudent husband, right? Yeah, for sure. Apply to every one of us. We have a lot of need, I tell you, honestly. You know, we face difficult situations every day. We need Him to help us. We need to receive favor from Him. We need His help daily. We can find help from His word. Can you imagine if you have no desire to read the Bible? And how can your children after you has desire to read God's word? And if he asks you a question regarding the Bible question, you say, I don't understand. He said, my daddy, 20, 30 years older than me, don't understand the Bible. And how can I, 6, 7 years old, to understand the Bible? That means your action discourage him to pursue reading of the Bible. You're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting your children after you. What did the Holy Spirit say to you? He wants you to starve yourself? Don't starve yourself, right? Feed yourself with spiritual milk as a newborn baby. What's the proof that you are born again? I want you to read in conclusion, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to chapter 2, verse 3 of 1 Peter. We are born again. How can a man be born again? We are born again by the very word of God, by the living word of God, enduring word of God. The word of God gives me birth. The word that I spoke to you gives life. And I'm born again, and you are born again by the word of God. And after you are born again by the word of God, you need to be fed with the word of God in order to grow into maturity. Chapter 1, 23, all the way to 2, verse 3.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and
and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. And grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word.
So that means the word of God give you life, right? So that you be born again. After you're born again, what did Peter say? You need to be fed with the word of God so as to grow into maturity. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So what's chapter 2, verse 1 saying? You know what's the reason why a lot of Christians, they don't feed themselves with the word of God? Because they are fed with what? They're so full of it. They don't need the word of God. And they're starving to death. Get rid of all that. When your computer are filled with junk, you need to reformat the hard drive to speed up the process. So many garbage inside. Get rid of all this kind of stuff. And then you have a desire to read the word of God. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, read that one more time.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that
you may grow up for your salvation. So that you may grow up for your salvation. I see a lot of babies, the mother give birth. And a few years later, they die. They don't grow up. Don't do that to your children. Don't do that to your baby. Don't do that to your own body. Right? Rid yourself of all this garbage stuff. Feed yourself with the spiritual meal, the Word of God. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help our children to understand the importance of the Word of God. And help them not just be the hearer. If they come here every Tuesday to hear it without reading it, that means they starve themselves. They only be fed on Tuesday, be fed on Sunday. The rest of the day, they're not fed with your word. They're fed with garbage. Lord, I pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us. So that the more we know you, the more we can gain favor from you. When we are in need, we know how to pray to you. We pray according to your word. And I pray that you encourage our children to read your word, to receive the message of the truth. And I pray that once they understood, they follow it, put it into practice, and tell their friends and come and see. And so that their friends will know you too. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.